this morning in the book of Joshua, chapter 9, reading verses 1 through 14. Would you stand for the reading of the Word of God this morning? Joshua chapter 9, verses 1 through 14. Now when all the kings west of the Jordan heard about these things, that in the hill country and the western foothills and along the entire coast of the great sea as far as Lebanon, the kings of the Hittites, Amorites, Canaanites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites, they came together to make war against Joshua and Israel. However, when the people of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done to Jericho and Ai, they resorted to a ruse. They went as a delegation whose donkeys were loaded with worn-out sacks and old wine skins cracked and mended. The men put worn and patched sandals on their feet and wore old clothes. All the bread of their food supply was dry and moldy. Then they went to Joshua in the camp of Gilgal and said to him and the men of Israel, "We've come from a distant country. Make a treaty with us." The men of Israel said to the Hivites, "But perhaps you live near us. How then can we make a treaty with you?" "We are your servants," they said to Joshua. But Joshua asked, "Who are you and where do you come from?" They answered, "Your servants have come from a very distant country because of the fame of the Lord your God, for we've heard reports of him, all that he did in Egypt and all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, Sihon, king of Heshbon, and Og, king of Bashan, who reigned in Ashtaroth. And our elders and all those living in our country said to us, 'Take provisions for your journey, go and meet them and say to them, we are your servants, make a treaty with us. This bread of ours was warm when we packed it at home on the day we left to come to you, but now see how dry and moldy it is. And these wineskins that we feel were new, but see how cracked they are, and our clothes and sandals are worn out by the very long journey.' The men of Israel sampled their provisions, but did not inquire of the Lord." Would you bow with me? Father God, as we pause this morning, as we look at this Old Testament passage of Scripture, and Father, we see that one of the most important things in all of life that any of us can ever do is first and foremost give our heart and life to Jesus Christ, and then secondly, inquire of the Lord all the days of our lives. God, I pray that as we look at this passage this morning, that you would warm our hearts. I pray, oh God, that you would challenge each one of us. I pray that you would help each one of us to grow in your grace and in your knowledge every day of our lives. And Father, lead us in the way everlasting. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. In the book of Joshua chapter 9, we continue following Joshua and the nation of Israel during those early days as they had left the wilderness, crossed the Jordan River, and now they're in the land of promise. God had been so good to the nation. God had delivered them out of Egyptian bondage for some 450 years, and they had seen miracle after miracle through the days of Moses and his deliverership and the parting of the Red Sea, and then after Moses went off of the scene and went the way of the earth, then Joshua would come. God would raise him up through his leadership skills. He would lead the children of Israel from that point forward on through the Jordan River at flood stage and the miraculous crossing that they had there. Then they would be victorious in taking the city of Jericho, and you will remember they were defeated at Ai because there was sin in the camp. One man by the name of Achan had taken the things that were supposed to be dedicated to the temple of the Lord, and because of his sin, the whole nation suffered in the loss of that battle. But when sin was dealt with, then God allowed the nation of Israel once again to come against the city of Ai, and the Hebrew people were once again very victorious in all of those things. The kings of the various areas there in land of Canaan heard about all of the things that Yahweh God had done for the nation of Israel. And for fear that Israel would overtake them, these other rogue nations out there that lived very paganistic, idolatrous lifestyles were going to come against the nation of Israel. But there was one little group, a place at Gibeon, where the people were fearful because they knew of the almighty power of Almighty God in the life of the Israelites. And so they came and they devised this little plan to look like they were foreigners from a far journey so that they could make a peace treaty with Israel, that Israel would not destroy them and that Israel would have to fight with them and for them when the other nations surrounded and came against the nation of Israel. But the discouraging part of this story is that in Joshua chapter 9 and verse 14, while the Israelites were deciding whether to make the peace treaty with these so-called foreigners, who were not foreigners after all, but the men of Israel sampled their provisions. But verse 14 says, but they did not inquire of the Lord. You see, it was a huge decision. They trusted what they heard. They trusted what they saw. They trusted what they thought. But the most important thing was they did not inquire of God. You see, it was their overzealousness. It was their overconfidence that had allowed the deception to take place. And God had given them instructions when they were given the promised land that they were to go in. There would be plenty of resources for them. God was giving it to them, but there were those rogue people out there that God had told them to take care of, else they would fall prey to some of the idolatry and some of the false teachings and religions that was going on. Throughout the Bible, we see that many times God's people inquired of Him. In fact, they would inquire of God when they were choosing a king. They would inquire of God about the health of a birth. They would inquire of God about considering going to battle. They would inquire of God about seeking blessings. They would inquire of God about seeking revival. They would require of God about seeking safety. They would inquire of God about needing wisdom. They would inquire of God about striving to govern well and choosing new leaders and studying God's word. And they would inquire of God in faces of emergencies. You see, inquiring of the Lord, asking for the counsel of the Almighty, it was a pattern for God's people throughout Scripture. God is a jealous God. He had told them through Moses, you will have no other gods before me. In fact, in the book of Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 3, we read these words, call to me. God is saying, I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. And then in the book of Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 12 and 13, then you will call on me and come and pray to me and I will listen to you. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 6 tells us also, seek the Lord while he may be found, call on him while he's near. You see, one of the clearest examples of inquiring of the Lord was in the life of King David. David was a man of faith. He certainly was not a flawless man by any stretch of the imagination, as you have seen in past sermons, as we've studied the life of David, as we looked on Father's Day, that he was a good king, but he had not been the type of father that he should have been to his children. David was a man of faith. He, as a young man, defeated the giant Goliath in battle. He was a man who was very gifted in music and poetry. He was gifted in military operations, and he was gifted in governing a nation. David was blessed by God. He was rich. He was powerful. He was well respected. And even with all of the worldly accolades laid upon King David, still, David humbled himself and David inquired of the Lord throughout his lifetime. David would inquire of the Lord before he went to battle. He inquired of the Lord when he was trying to get away and flee from King Saul, who hated David, who was incessantly jealous of David. And he would pray. David would pray and inquire of God as he would flee from Saul. David would inquire of God when he was seeking the reason for the famine in the land. David would inquire of God about whether or not he should be the one to build the temple. It was such a pattern in David's life. In fact, in the book of Acts, chapter 13 and verse 22, we read, after removing Saul, he, that means God, made David their king. God testified concerning him, I found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. You see, David had a heart that was listening for God's voice. He was committed to God. He was committed to obey. And even before he heard God's instructions, this is the foundational truth that you and I need to learn and understand from God's word. God will speak to those who have a heart and to those who will listen and obey. As the song says, there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And at the same time, in Scripture, we see examples when people inquired of God and God refused to respond because ears they had, but they did not hear, and they did not have a heart of obedience. We can see in the life of the nation of Israel's first king, King Saul, over there in 1 Samuel 28, verse 6, Saul had already been put aside because Saul had been disobedient. He, Saul, inquired of the Lord, but the Lord did not answer Saul by dreams or Urim or prophets. In response to that, Saul went to a medium. And young people today, when you've got astrologers and you've got fortune tellers and you've got mediums everywhere that are trying to appeal to people, telling people they can predict their futures and tell them all about things, the Bible speaks against that type of thing. In response, Saul went to the witch of Endor, the Bible tells us, and she was supposed to be able to commune with the dead. And all of a sudden, she screams when Samuel, the prophet who has been dead, has come up in the midst of her and Saul there. And Samuel will testify against Saul. He said, why do you ask me, since the Lord has turned from you and become your enemy, because you did not obey the voice of the Lord? You see, Saul was inquiring of the Lord for guidance, but Saul had been disobedient. Saul would not listen. Saul would not heed the warnings of the Lord. And so, through Saul's disobedience, God refused to respond to Saul when he inquired of God. I would ask each of us here a question this morning. Oftentimes, I find so many people that are so discouraged in life, and they say, I just pray and I pray and I pray and I pray, and for some reason the heavens seem brassed over. I just cannot seem to get answers to my prayers. I sometimes wonder, is the reason that we don't get answers that we so often, could it be that it's because of disobedience in our life? Maybe somewhere we've disobeyed God, and God, being the great cardiognostus, cardio heart, gnostus to know, since he's the great heart knower, since he has eyes that are like a flame of fire, he pierces through the very heart. And God can see the intent of the heart. God can see whether or not we are willing to be obedient. You see, sometimes God is silent, and sometimes God says yes. Sometimes God says no. Sometimes God does not answer. It may not be out of disobedience that we've done, Or it could be through disobedience that we've done. But I want you to know, one of the most important things was for people to inquire of the Lord. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 14 is another example, when those elders of Israel, they came to the prophet of God and they were inquiring of the Lord, but God could see because he knew what was in their hearts. He could see that their hearts were filled with idol worship, that their hearts were filled with iniquity. And the Lord looked at them and realized that even though they may have ears, they were not hearing because of the iniquity in their hearts. And they were far away from God. And in response, God commanded that they repent and turn away from their idols and turn their faces from all of those abominations they were involved in. You see, if men choose to separate themselves from God by cherishing sinful idols in our hearts, God will set his face against us and cut us off from the midst of his people so that it would be known that he is Lord. If you and I want to be a people who inquires of the Lord, then we do that by looking at the word Lord. Is he Lord this morning? Is Jesus really the Lord of your life? Or is worship just something that we do and we come to church and we sit in the pews and we sing a few songs and we listen to the message and then we go out the doors and life back as usual? Or do we truly inquire of the Lord? Jesus himself set the example. If you will remember, after he had gone through everything that he was going to go through on the night before the crucifixion and the crucifixion, you'll remember Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane with sweat drops of blood. He was praying intently to God the Father. He was inquiring of God, is there another way that redemption could come, that sinful man could be reconciled to a holy God? If there's any other way, Jesus, young people, was praying, then Lord, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but thy will be done. Let me tell you, Jesus inquired of God the Father. To truly inquire of the Lord hinges on the word Lord. I ask the question, is he Lord of all? We sing that little chorus, Jesus is Lord of all. Jesus is Lord of all. Lord of my life and my motives each day. Jesus is Lord of all. One of the things, one of the life applications this morning that I want to leave you with is this. Are you inquiring of the Lord? You see, it wasn't that Joshua didn't love the Lord, because he did love the Lord. It wasn't that those people didn't love God. The problem was they became so busy. They got caught up in this deceptive moment with the Gibeonites, who said, hey, we just need a peace treaty from you. And once it was noted that they had deceived the nation of Israel, the Israelites could not back out on their covenant treaty and promise with the Gibeonites, because that would not be what they would do in order to name the name of the Lord their God, Yahweh. But you see, the problem was they got too busy. They got too self-confident in their life. And in our lives today, I'm confident of the fact that many of us in our own lives, we go about our daily affairs and we plan for the things out yonder. Someone said, for man is dreaming ever and he glimpses the hills afar, and he plans for the things out yonder where all his tomorrows are. Most of us become so busy. We become so enmeshed in all of the things that are happening with us and around us that we so oftentimes fail to inquire of the Lord. Whatever it may be, whatever decision in life that you're trying to make, whatever it is in your life that you need or don't need, I would admonish all of us here this morning that one of the things that we can take away from Joshua chapter 9 is the most important thing of learning to inquire of the Lord. Let me give you quickly four things in closing this morning. Inquiring of the Lord involves submitting to God in prayer. Submitting to God in prayer. Do you pray about everything? You know, now you may think this is silly, but I want you to know a lot of people pray about their parking spot. Any of y'all do that? Well, you know, hey, I don't think that's a bad idea. I think that our lives should be so caught up in our spiritual love of the Lord that we just ask the Lord in all things of life, that we would just ask the Lord to bless us. We have some doctors here in the service this morning, and I want to say how much I love and appreciate the medical staff here at Duncan and the wonderful way they try to take care of all the medical needs here in our area. But I want you to know, I hear people say to me all the time, "Pastor, one of the most important things is my doctor prays with me. My doctor prays with me. My doctor prays before the surgery that I'm going to have." Let me tell you, you're going to feel a whole lot better about going into surgery when you know your doctor has prayed, inquired of the Lord before he comes to perform his surgical procedure on you. I believe that God is saying to all of us here today, don't allow the world and the things of this world to come against you, but to always inquire of me in all that you do, whatever you do, that I love you with an everlasting love. And God is saying, I want you to love me. I want you to love me. He created in you and me for fellowship with him. And inquiring of the Lord means submitting to God in prayer. Secondly, take this away. Inquiring of the Lord means you are committed to obey God's will even before he shows you what it is. That you are willing to obey God's will even before he shows you what it is. Thirdly, inquiring of the Lord involves turning to God's word for direction. Let me tell you, in the Old Testament, God used various ways to speak at various and sundry times through prophets and through various things, dreams and visions and all sorts of ways. Let me tell you, God speaks today. Since Pentecost, 2,000 years ago, Peter was preaching. The one Peter had denied Christ three times, and yet Peter's repentant heart brought him to a place that he was the one that was preaching on the day of Pentecost. I don't think it's by any accident that Peter wept when he heard the rooster crow the third time and he had denied Christ. That when Jesus ascended back to heaven and said, "Wait for the Spirit," I don't think it's any accident that Peter was the one getting to preach that day when the Holy Spirit of God came to indwell the believer. Ever since 2,000 years ago, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside our hearts. Jesus, God, living in us through the Holy Spirit. And it's the Holy Spirit that leads us into all truth through the Word of God. And let me tell you, when God speaks to our hearts through his Word, one of the things we need to do is to turn to him for counsel, to turn to him for direction in our lives. Fourthly, I want to leave you with this. Inquiring of the Lord involves speaking to God's people that have wise counsel. Now, not everybody that comes to you will have wise counsel. Have you ever experienced that, choir? Have you ever gone to somebody and you thought they were giving you great advice and you listened and maybe you even took their advice and heeded it, but it really was not the right advice? Let me tell you, whenever you're living for Jesus every day of your life, when you are inquiring of the Lord through all of your actions, through all of your activities, through all of your motivation, I can assure you of one thing. If you are guided by the teachings of this book and the Holy Spirit is leading you, I can assure you, you will be found doing what God wants you to do. Would you stand as we pray together?